Texas Workforce Solutions, Older Individuals Who Are Blind Services, Guide to Independent Living for Older Individuals Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired. Helpline phone number 844-NEED-OIB, 844-633-3642. Email oib.info@twc.texas.gov. This publication contains 149 pages. Approximate reading time. This publication contains markers allowing direct access to From the Guide Cover, Texas Workforce Solutions, Older Individuals Who Are Blind Services, Guide to Independent Living for Older Individuals Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired. Helpline 844-NEED-OIB, 633-3642. Email address oib.info@twc.texas.gov. Texas Workforce Solutions, Vocational Rehabilitation Services. Welcome to the world of independent living at Texas Workforce Solutions, Vocational Rehabilitation Services, TWS-VRS. You have received this guide because you or someone you know have expressed interest in older individuals who are blind, OIB, services. This guide provides tips and tricks for living with vision loss and resources that can assist you in increasing and/or maintaining your independence in your home or community. Independence looks different for everyone, so you may not need all of the information covered, or you may have questions about other issues not covered in this guide. If you need further assistance or have questions about your vision loss and increasing your independence related to vision loss, please reach out to a local OIB worker or contact the OIB helpline number listed at the front of this guide. Texas Workforce Solutions comprises the Texas Workforce Commission, 28 local workforce development boards, and our service providing partners. Together, we provide workforce, education, training, and support services, including vocational rehabilitation assistance for the people of Texas. Table of Contents. Texas Workforce Solutions, Older Individuals Who Are Blind Services. Page number 1. Adjustment to Blindness. Page number 6. Common Eye Diseases. Page number 6. Definition of Terms. Page number 9. Questions to Ask Your Eye Doctor. Page number 11. Low Vision. Page number 13. Low Vision Examination. Page number 15. Using Visual Aids. Page number 18. Bright Idea. Magnifiers. Page number 19. Bright Idea. Magnifiers. Page number 20. Emotional Aspects of Vision Loss. Page number 20. About Grieving. Page number 23. Shock and Denial. Page number 24. Anger. Page number 25. Bargaining. Page number 26. Depression and Isolation. Page number 27. Acceptance. Page number 29. What is Diabetes? Page number 30. Types of Diabetes. Page number 31. Diabetes Management Tools. Page number 33. Ideas and Tips for People with Vision Loss, page number 38. Organizing and Labeling, page number 38. Food and Kitchen Tips, page number 40. Grocery Shopping, page number 40. Organizing, page number 41. Cooking, page number 42. Measuring, page number 43. Using liquids, page number 44. Labeling canned food and utensils, page number 45. Labeling and using appliances, page number 46. How to mark appliances, page number 49. Contrasting, page number 51. Eating, page number 52. Lighting for safety and comfort, page number 53. Types of light, page number 53. More lighting tips, page number 54. Bright idea, lighting, page number 56. Furnishings, page number 57. Identifying keys, page number 59. Laundry and sewing tips, page number 59. Cleaning, page number 61. Bathroom tips, page number 62. Personal management, page number 63. Medications, page number 63. Clothing tips, page number 65. Identifying shoes, page number 68. Shopping, page number 68. Shopping in person, page number 69. Shopping by catalog, page number 70. Bright idea, shopping, page number 71. Shopping on the internet, page number 72. Financial matters, page number 73. Money tips, page number 74. Credit cards, page number 75. Safety and security, page number 76. Using remaining senses, page number 78. Using your hearing, page number 78. Using your sense of touch, page number 79. Using your sense of smell, page number 80. Alternative techniques for being independent, page number 81. How are alternative techniques learned, page number 84. Travel and transportation, page number 85. Community transportation, page number 85. Orientation and mobility, page number 86. Protective techniques, page number 87. Dropped object, page number 89. Orientation tips, page number 90. Guiding techniques, page number 91. Guiding techniques, page number 92. Communication, page number 93. Using the telephone, page number 93. Organizing phone numbers, page number 94. Using a smartphone, page number 95. Helpful smartphone apps, page number 96. Be My Eyes, page number 96. Era, page number 96. OCO, page number 97. Seeing AI, page number 97. Reading and Writing, page number 98. Adapting Writing Materials, page number 98. Reading Mail, page number 99. Bright Idea, page number 100. Paying Bills, Page 101. Bright Idea. Page number 102. Electronic Banking. Page number 102. Telling Time. Page number 102. Keeping a Calendar. Page 103. Books, Newspapers, and Magazines. Page 103. Reading Resources. Page 104. Assistive Technology. Page 109. Assistive Technology, Financial Aid. Page 114. Assistive Technology Websites. Page 115. Organizations for the Blind and Support. Page number 117. I2I, Peer Support Group. Page number 117. American Council of the Blind of Texas. Page number 118. National Federation of the Blind of Texas. Page number 118. American Foundation for the Blind. Page 120. Time to Be Bold Campaign. Page 120. National Research and Training Center on Blindness and Low Vision. Page number 121. Quality of Life. Page number 122. Recreation. Page number 122. Travel. Page number 123. Computer and Board Games. Page number 124. Sports. Page number 124. Amateur Radio. Page number 126. Music, Videos, and Theater. Page number 126. Recreational Equipment Resources. Page number 127. Adaptive Aid Catalogs. Page number 128. Self-Advocacy Skills. Page number 130. Support and Assistance. Page number 131. Bright Idea. Get Involved. Page number 133. Independent Living. Page number 134. Closing Notes. Page number 143. If this is the first time you've heard of the Older Individuals Who Are Blind, OIB, program, a little background information may be helpful. The OIB program serves blind or visually impaired Texans. Our mission is to work in partnership with customers to assist them in achieving their individual goals. Through a variety of services and activities, we help customers build confidence in their ability to go any place, do anything, and be exactly who and what they want to be without being hesitant or insecure. In fact, we like to think of ourselves as Texas Confidence Builders. The foundation of the Texas Confidence Builders philosophy is empowerment for customers and is achieved through emotional adjustment to vision loss, mastery of alternative techniques, coping with a sighted world, and the ability to blend into society. TWS-VRS has prepared this guide to answer some of the questions you may have about vision loss and to assist you in living more independently. The guide includes basic information about blindness, independent living, travel, communication, support systems, and maintaining quality of life. We hope the information will assist you in discovering your specific needs as well as finding solutions to problems that may be interfering with your ability to live as independently as you want. An OIB representative is available by telephone or email to answer any questions you may have and evaluate whether you might benefit from further OIB services. In the meantime, we hope you will start reading and using the information in this guide. It's never too soon to be more independent. Adjustment to blindness. Common eye diseases. Age-related macular degeneration, AMD. An eye disease that results in a loss of central, straight-ahead vision, making it difficult to read or do close work. Remaining side vision makes object detection possible. AMD is the leading cause of vision loss in older Americans. Cataract, a clouding of the lens, which causes a general loss of detail in what a person sees. People with cataracts see through a haze. The field of vision is unaffected, but glaring light conditions, distortion, and double images can prove annoying. Surgery to replace the cloudy lens with a plastic lens usually resolves the problem safely and effectively. Glaucoma, an eye disease related to high pressure inside the eye that damages the optic nerve and leads to vision loss. Glaucoma affects peripheral or side vision. Retinitis pigmentosa, RP, an inherited disease that affects vision due to a breakdown of retinal tissues. Characterized by night blindness, retinitis pigmentosa frequently results in tunnel vision. Central vision can also be affected. Detached retina. Retinas detach for a variety of reasons, and many can be surgically repaired. When an injury occurs, the hole or tear becomes filled with liquid, lifting the retina from its normal position and causing a defect in the field of vision. These can appear as dark shadows, either above or below the central field, as though a hanging curtain or a wave was obstructing vision. Diabetic retinopathy. About 80% of people with diabetic retinopathy experience, at most, a swelling and leaking of retinal blood vessels, which may cause blurring in the central visual field. Most cases develop into a proliferate state, where abnormal new blood vessel growth can rupture and bleed into vitreous, interfering with light passage through the eye, either in random patterns or throughout the visual field. Most commonly, some vision remains. Legal blindness. For legal and educational purposes, it is necessary to have a measurable point for determining when a person's vision is so impaired as to seriously interfere with their education and livelihood, making them eligible for many benefits and services, such as rehabilitation services, Social Security disability benefits, and income tax exemption. This measurable point has been designated as legal blindness. Thus, a person whose vision falls within the definition of legal blindness is considered to be legally blind. Definition of legal blindness: visual acuity of 20/200 or less in better eye with best correction, or visual field of no greater than 20 degrees in the better eye. Agency definition of severe visual impairment: visual acuity greater than 20/200 but less than 20/70 in the better eye with best correction. What these terms mean. 20/200. This person sees at 20 feet what the person with 20/20 vision sees at 200 feet. In the better eye, the eye that has the greater visual acuity. Definition of terms. Visual acuity, VA. Detailed central vision, as in reading. Central visual acuity, CVA. Ability to perceive the shape of objects in the direct line of vision. Peripheral vision, PV. Ability to perceive the presence, motion, or color of objects outside of the direct line of vision, on each side and above and below the line of sight. Visual field, VF. entire area that can be seen without moving the gaze, normally 180 degrees. Tunnel vision. Contraction of the visual field to such an extent that only a small area of visual acuity remains, giving the affected individual the impression of looking through a tunnel. Blind spot. Blank area in the visual field corresponds to the light rays that come to a focus on the optic nerve. The blind spot center is located 15.5 degrees temporal to fixation and 1.5 degrees below fixation. The typical blind spot is oval in shape, approximately 7.5 degrees along its vertical axis and 5.5 degrees along its horizontal axis. Binocular vision. Ability to focus on one object and to fuse the two images, one from each eye, into one. 20/20 vision. This refers to the line on the Snellen chart, an eye chart, labeled 20/20. The top number, numerator, is the distance between the chart and the person, usually 20 feet. The bottom number, denominator, refers to the size of test letters that the average person is able to read at the distance noted in the numerator. Normal vision also includes things such as normal field vision, color vision, etc. Questions to ask your eye doctor. The questions listed below are designed to help you know what to ask your doctor so that you can become informed about your eye condition. What is my diagnosis? What caused my condition? Should I watch for any particular symptoms and notify you if they occur? What changes can I expect in my vision? Will my vision loss get worse? Will regular eyeglasses improve my vision? What medical, surgical treatments are available for my condition? What are the benefits of this treatment, and how successful is it? What are the risks and side effects associated with this treatment? What can I do to protect or prolong my vision? Will dieting, exercising, or other lifestyle change help? How can I continue my normal activities? Will any special devices help me with daily activities, such as reading, sewing, cooking, or repairing things around the house? Do you have any literature related to my diagnosis? How often do I need to return for exams? Low vision. If you have been told you have low vision, it means you still have some usable vision and can learn to use it more efficiently. Your vision is a complex sense made up of your ability to see contrasts and sharp detail and to evaluate the location of objects in the environment. Your eyes change as you age, but vision loss should not simply be accepted as a natural part of the aging process. In healthy aging, eyeglasses or contact lenses can correct changes in vision. However, eye diseases can affect vision to the point that it cannot be fully corrected by ordinary prescription lenses, medical treatment, or surgery. If your eye care professional has informed you that your vision cannot be corrected and you still have some usable vision, you have what is called low vision. Among older persons, low vision can result from eye conditions such as cataracts, macular degeneration, glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, or from a stroke. If you have low vision, you may experience one or more of three types of vision problems. Overall blurred vision, which can be caused by cataracts, scars on the cornea, or diabetic retinopathy. Loss of central or center vision, frequently caused by macular degeneration and/or loss of peripheral or side vision, mostly caused by glaucoma or stroke. There are optometrists with special training in low vision, ask your eye care professional to refer you to a low vision specialist for a special low vision evaluation. The specialist can determine the extent of your remaining vision and prescribe special optical devices that help make the best use of the vision you still have by magnifying, filtering, or increasing your usable field of vision. Examples of devices can include handheld or stand magnifiers for reading print or performing other near tasks, high-intensity lamps for reading and other close-up tasks like writing or sewing, pocket-sized telescopes for distance vision for things like reading a street sign or identifying the number of an approaching bus, and closed-circuit televisions that magnify and project printed materials onto a television screen. Low vision examination. Depending on the amount of your remaining vision and visual acuities, a low vision evaluation with a low vision specialist may be beneficial. The goal of a low vision examination is to teach you how to use your remaining vision more effectively. When you visit a low vision specialist, he or she will complete a thorough exam and spend time discussing your specific vision problems. What to expect in the exam? History. The low vision specialist will review your eye, medical, and functional history with you. They will ask extensive questions about your ability to perform day-to-day activities such as cooking, shopping, driving, writing, etc. Preliminary testing. The low vision specialist will perform a variety of special tests, which may include contrast sensitivity, color vision, auto-refractive scans, and visual field examinations. Low vision refraction. Your refractive prescription will be measured with low vision techniques that make it easier for you to respond. Low vision aid exam. A variety of low vision aids will be evaluated to determine their ability to help you function better. These may include glare and light control, low vision magnifiers, independent living aids, microscopic reading eyewear, telescopic systems, closed-circuit television systems, and/or computer modifications. Fitting and training. If low vision aids are prescribed, fitting and training will be performed to teach you how to properly utilize each low vision aid. Bright idea. Low vision exams. What to take to the exam? Any eyeglasses, sunglasses, reading glasses, magnifiers, or other items you currently use to aid your vision. Samples of any reading material, newspapers, bills, newsletters, or music you would like help in seeing. A list of medications you are taking, including over-the-counter and herbal remedies, or bring all your medications. Your insurance information, cards, forms, etc. Any records or information you have on your eye problems. Plan to have someone drive you to your examination, as your eyes may be dilated during the exam. Using visual aids. Low vision aids can be expensive and should be purchased with care. To assure the most satisfaction and success using vision aids, a low vision evaluation is a must. Your eye specialist will help you choose the proper eyeglasses and can suggest other visual aids that may be useful to you. Be sure and tell the specialist or salesperson exactly what you will be using the visual aid for, and, if possible, take along an example of the task to test it in the store. Some specialists will loan aids for you to try out at home or wherever you'll be using them. If you have the opportunity to try before you buy, take it. What works great in the store might not work the same with lighting conditions in your home or office. Before you buy a visual aid, be sure you know the company's return policy. If you are not satisfied with your purchase, you'll want to be able to return it or at least get an exchange. Bright idea. Magnifiers. Know your magnifiers. There are no standards for magnifier power ratings. One company's 3x magnification might be another's 2x. A better way to compare is diopter strength. 4 diopters equal 1 power. The quality of the magnifier can make a big difference. Some inexpensive magnifiers have a sweet viewing spot with color distortion away from the center of the lens. Better lenses, known as aspheric, are made from ground glass for less distortion. Asplenatic magnifiers allow more light to pass through. This generally applies to the high-powered lenses. Rectangular magnifiers are limited in lens power and are designed to be held in the right hand. Bright idea. Magnifiers. Focus on magnifiers. All handheld magnifiers have a focal point where the image is sharpest. When you move the magnifier closer to an object, it may not appear as large or sharp. Moving the magnifier beyond the focal point will blur the image and eventually cause it to appear to flip over. The more powerful the spectacles, the nearer to your eye the object must be. With very high magnification, the object will be very close to you. Examining the device while performing the task is the best test before making a purchase. Emotional aspects of vision loss. Although each person's reaction to the diagnosis of serious, irreversible vision loss is different, for most people, this is emotionally devastating news. When you received the news, you probably left your physician's office feeling very alone and convinced that the worst had happened, that there was no cure and no hope of ever leading an active, independent life again. To make matters worse, you were probably unaware of the many organizations and agencies in your community that specialize in helping people with serious vision loss to learn new skills and to maintain independence. Between the time of the diagnosis and the time that people become actively engaged in learning new skills, people new to vision loss must deal with the following: the impact of their diagnosis, learning about their specific eye condition and its implications, reconsidering self-concepts, addressing issues related to family and friends, thinking about a host of practical issues related to continued independent living and/or employment, and coping with a wide variety of emotions. Grief is a natural response to significant vision loss. The purpose of grieving is to face loss and find ways to adapt to it. In other words, grief brings a person from the stage of asking, "Why did this happen to me?" to progressing to, "How can I move forward?" Many people have found that their emotional reactions to vision loss resemble those emotions experienced with other significant losses in their lives. The ways in which they coped with the emotional grief from those losses and how they rejoined the mainstream of life are similar. During this grieving process, you are likely to experience some or all the following phases of grief. About grieving. For each person with vision loss, the process of grieving is likely to be different. No one knows for sure what steps this process will take or how long it may last for you. For some, the period of deep grief may last only a few days or weeks. For others, It may last for months. It is important for you to remember that, during this time, you will need to rely on the understanding, sensitivity, and support of your family and friends, as well as the services provided by the many professionals, support groups, clubs, and agencies listed in this packet. They can all work together to assist you to find the best way to cope with your vision loss, to live independently, to have a full and active social life, and to continue to be productive in the workforce. Shock and denial. Immediately after learning about your significant vision loss, you may experience a feeling of disbelief. You just do not want to believe that this loss is happening to you. It may seem like more than you can handle all at once. Reaction and purpose. You may experience sleep disturbances, high anxiety, or numbness. These behaviors are part of your unconscious defense mechanism that protects you until you are better able to deal with your vision loss. The first task in grief work is to accept the situation, your vision loss, as a reality. Panic. Feelings of fear about your vision loss may affect your ability to make decisions or to think about day-to-day activities. You may become preoccupied and think about little else other than your vision loss. This preoccupation with your vision loss can cause feelings of inadequacy. These feelings of inadequacy can lead to panic, as tasks that you once mastered now become frustrating and difficult to accomplish. You may often think in terms of giving up an activity rather than attempting a new approach. What to do? Make sure the significant people in your life are available for you at this time. They may need to repeat the information to you and remind you to take the basic steps needed to care for yourself. You may need to state what you need. Remember, they may be going through their own issues surrounding your vision loss. When you begin to realize the full impact of the vision loss you are experiencing, you may express this loss through emotions such as sadness or anger. Anger. As you begin to move out of your depression, you may have more energy and can express feelings of anger. You may not even realize that you had such feelings. Expressing your anger may help you to begin to direct your grief outward. It may allow you to move beyond feeling that life is not fair. Reaction and purpose. Some people displace their anger and misdirect it toward themselves, others, and life in general. You may alternately shout and be withdrawn. The purpose of this anger is to face and express the overwhelming feelings about the loss. What to do? Ask your loved ones to help you work through your anger. Part of this will be realizing that you will need to redirect your energy into constructive problem-solving by investigating available resources and educating yourself with your eye disease and alternative methods in completing tasks. Bargaining. This is the phase where most people bargain with a higher power or their doctor to take away the loss in exchange for promises of good behavior, etc. You may find yourself making vows that you have every intention of keeping in the hope that your eyesight will be restored. This is another form of denial. Reaction and purpose. Bargaining provides a chance to postpone loss and attempt to take control of the situation through self-imposed deadlines and exchanges of good behavior for restored eyesight. This is a normal response to loss. What to do? Ask your loved ones to respond to your needs, listen, and stay available. You can help yourself by focusing on learning everything you need to about your eye disease and alternative approaches to everyday tasks. Depression and isolation. You may feel very alone. believing that no one else could possibly understand the full impact of your vision loss. You may have a tendency to withdraw from your usual social life. You may feel helpless and hopeless. You may have asked yourself, "What is there to live for if I can't see?" Reaction and purpose. You may experience physical symptoms such as insomnia, appetite changes, and difficulty concentrating on and managing routine tasks. You may also find yourself feeling a sense of guilt that surprises you. "I should have gone to the doctor sooner. Maybe I should have gotten a second opinion. I shouldn't have read so much as a child." These feelings are all normal attempts to understand why your vision loss has occurred. Resistance to normal activities. You may resist returning to your normal activities. Your attempts at doing these activities may appear to be too stressful or too painful. This is particularly true if you need to learn new skills or make significant life changes due to your vision loss. What to do? Ask others to listen so that you can express sorrow over your loss. This can provide structure for recognizing your loss and preparing for your life after loss and all the activities involved in adapting to your new life. Acceptance. Finally, your vision loss stops consuming your life, and you begin to realize that it may be difficult, but is not devastating. You can begin to discuss your feelings without anger and depression. Reaction and purpose. This is the transitional phase. This is the time to get busy and stay busy. Involve yourself in civic organizations, hobbies, etc. Continue to seek support and understanding. Hope returns. Eventually, you will begin to experience periods of hope that things will improve and that the future holds promise once again. For many of you, this hope comes with learning new skills that will enable you to return to your normal activities. Rebuilding. During this period, you will realize that you can live in the world again and be an active part of it. You will have adjusted your life to the new reality your vision loss has created. Your vision loss will have become one, but only one, of the aspects of your personal identity. Eye-to-Eye Peer Support Group. Eye-to-Eye focuses on the shared experience of vision loss as a powerful tool for connection, emotional support, and personal growth. Contact the support line at 833-932-3931. Email eye2eye@shp.rutgers.edu. What is diabetes? Diabetes is a disease in which the body does not make enough insulin or does not properly use insulin. The body breaks down the sugars and starches into glucose when you eat food. Glucose is the basic fuel for the cells in the body. Insulin signals the cells to open up and take the glucose from the blood. If your body does not produce insulin, type 1 diabetes, or properly use the insulin you do have, type 2 diabetes, then the glucose can build up in your blood. Over time, this buildup of glucose within your bloodstream leads to complications of diabetes such as diabetic eye disease, kidney disease, nerve damage, and more. By controlling your diabetes, you can prevent or slow down the advancement of these complications. Types of diabetes. Type 1. This type of diabetes generally presents itself in childhood, but can occur in older adults. People with type 1 have little or no insulin production from their pancreas. People with type 1 diabetes must take their insulin in order to survive. Approximately 10% of diagnosed diabetics have type 1. Symptoms. These symptoms generally occur suddenly. Increased thirst, increased passing of urine, increased hunger, sudden weight loss, lack of energy. Causes: family history of type 1, pancreas injury due to viruses or accidents, loss of the insulin-producing cells of the pancreas. Type 2. This type of diabetes generally presents itself in adulthood, but is often now seen in childhood due to unhealthy lifestyle behaviors. People with type 2 produce some insulin, but the body does not properly process the insulin or does not produce enough insulin. This is described as insulin resistant, since your cells do not open up and take the glucose in. Approximately 90% of diabetics have type 2. Symptoms: these symptoms generally develop over a long period of time. Increased thirst, frequent passing of urine, increased hunger, dry, itchy skin, numbness, tingling in hands or feet, blurry vision, sexual functioning problems, lack of energy, cuts or sores that heal slowly. Causes: family history of diabetes, over 40 years of age, obesity, overweight, previously diagnosed with gestational diabetes, gave birth to a baby weighing over 9 pounds, stress of an illness or injury, diagnosed with high blood pressure or high cholesterol, African, Native, or Hispanic American heritage. Diabetes management tools. Education. When you have diabetes, it is important to learn as much as you can about the disease and how to live a healthy lifestyle. Diabetes educators are available to help with your education. These professionals can provide you with information to assist you in making good choices. Look into your personal insurance plan, Medicare, Medicaid, or other insurer, to find out what diabetes benefits are available to you for diabetes education and diabetes supplies. Healthy eating. Good choices extend to meal planning. Knowing what foods will raise your blood sugar, portion sizes, and times to eat will greatly aid you in managing your diabetes. Your diabetes educator will be able to assist you with meal planning. When you have scheduled your appointment to see your diabetes educator, make a list of what your favorite foods are, so that you can ask what the best times, amounts are, and frequency you can eat them. Being active. Exercise and other activities can lower your blood sugar level and is an important part of treating your diabetes. Exercise helps you use the sugar in your blood, burn fat, improve strength and muscle tone, improve blood flow, build your heart and lungs, relieve stress, and makes you feel and look better. Even small amounts of activity can make a difference in your blood sugar management. Chair exercises, resistance bands, gardening, walking, and housework are excellent examples of activities. Taking medication. While some people do not take medications because they control their diabetes with careful meal planning and plenty of exercise, most people with diabetes need to take medications. When you speak to your doctor, it is important that you understand how to take the medicine. Here are a few questions you can ask. What is the name of this medication? Why am I taking this medication? When should I take this medication? How much medication do I need to take? Are there any side effects? What should I do if I forget to take this medication? How will I know that this medicine is working? What should I do if a problem or emergency comes up? The medications you take for your diabetes may be in pill form or by injection. Your diabetes educator can help you learn about your medications and how to take them. If you are having trouble organizing or taking your medicines because of your vision, your diabetes educator can discuss some tools and techniques to help. Monitoring. Using a blood sugar monitor, blood pressure monitor, weight scale, and other at-home devices can help you see changes in diet, activity, medication, and your body. Talking monitors are available for people with visual impairment. Ask your diabetes educator and insurance company what is available for your use. By monitoring, you can identify and treat problems before they become serious. It is also important to keep up with the tests done at the doctor's office. These lab tests, such as your hemoglobin, A1C, albumin, creatinine, cholesterol, and triglycerides, give you information about your diabetes management and the risk of complications of diabetes. Be sure to discuss any lab results that are not in the normal range with your doctor. Problem solving. What needs to be done to manage your diabetes changes every day? You need to know how to respond when your blood sugar is high, when it is low, during days you are sick, or having a surgery or procedure. Talk to your diabetes educator about these problems. Healthy coping. Diabetes is not easy to live with. It is a chronic disease, and most people need the support of not only their healthcare team, but family and friends as well. Having a good support system is important. Depression is common in people with diabetes. If you are feeling down or without energy or interest in doing things you normally enjoy, you may be depressed. Let your doctor and diabetes educator know, and they can help you find ways to manage the stress. Reducing risk. When your blood sugar is kept as close to normal as possible, then you can slow down or even stop the progression of the complications of diabetes. Doing all of the behaviors such as healthy eating, being active, taking your medication, monitoring, problem solving, and healthy coping will help you reduce the effect your diabetes has on your health. Be sure to see your eye doctor, your dentist, your podiatrist, and other specialists, as well as your regular doctor. Take care of your feet and skin. Brush your teeth. Get plenty of rest. All these things help you create a healthy lifestyle. Ideas and tips for people with vision loss. There are many ways you can organize and label items around your home for easier organization, identification, and retrieval. The following suggestions are organized by major daily activities. Use these tips, or come up with your own ideas, to achieve your goal of being independent and self-sufficient. Organizing and labeling. Learning a different way to organize yourself and/or your possessions may be helpful. Being able to quickly find items you use every day helps relieve stress and anxiety. Depending on the items you want to organize, you may find that using boxes of various sizes and shapes, labeling, or color coding is helpful. For example, each day all incoming mail can be collected in a shoebox. Food, medicines, and other items can be easily identified using labeling techniques. The first place to look for items that may help you use your vision better or learn a new way to do things is in your home or a local office supply store. There may be a variety of labeling materials already in your home, such as Scotch tape, Velcro, safety pins, rubber bands, bread or garbage bag ties, index cards, shoe or cereal boxes, glue, glue guns, buttons, paper clips, jars, baskets, binders, colored tacks, and fingernail polish. Other labeling materials include strategically placed rubber bands, puff paint, and color-coded tabs or tape. Additionally, audio labels for the blind are available from WayTag. Products work with the WayAround mobile app for iOS or Android phones. Bright idea. Marking. Use a felt-tip pen to mark medicine bottles or canned goods with single letter to identify the contents. Example, N for nitroglycerin, V for Valium, B for beans, and C for corn. Food and kitchen tips. Grocery shopping. Many grocery stores will provide shopping assistance. Contact your local grocer to find out what types of assistance are available, how to arrange it, etc. Some stores offer a pull and order service, meaning they'll fill your advance order for groceries. This option can save money, especially if you pay for transportation and the driver has to wait for you to shop. On the downside, the store may not pull the name brands you want. Your grocer can give you more details. Grocery delivery may be another option, especially if you live in a small town. The store may charge a delivery fee, but it still may be cheaper and less hassle than arranging and paying for transportation. There are also some grocery warehouses that deliver for a fee. However, you may not have as wide a selection of products to choose from. In many communities, meal delivery programs, such as Meals on Wheels, are available to people who are eligible. Organizing. Assemble all ingredients, utensils, and recipe materials on a tray to organize and to assist in transporting items between workstations. Fill a large salt shaker with flour for dusting baking pans, making gravies, etc. Put salt and pepper in clear shakers to easily see the difference. As each ingredient is used, put the container away or push it to the back of your work area. If interrupted, you will know what ingredients you have used. Always have potholders, oven mitts, trivets, etc. ready for use. Use a timer rather than visually checking the items you are cooking. Close doors and drawers immediately after use. Store knives in a knife holder, a separate box, or drawer. Place a knife in a large bowl or knife holder for easy retrieval between cuttings. Use scissors more often than knives, especially for tasks such as cutting pizza, skinning chicken, chopping herbs, etc. Put additional lighting around work areas. Store cooking items or utensils that you don't use in a separate location or get rid of them. This will alleviate stress and make locating desired items much easier and faster. Cooking. A little salt in the frying pan will prevent splattering fats. Use a muffin tin for baking potatoes, stuffed peppers, or tomatoes. This makes it easier to locate and remove from the oven. Cook bacon in the microwave or by baking on cookie sheets to avoid turning. Use covered containers to toss salads and shake mix instant pudding. Wet vegetables when peeling to make it easier to determine if all the peel has been removed. Use a mustard, yellow, or ketchup, red, squeeze bottle from a picnic set for squeezing oil into a pan. To drain foods, empty food into a colander, in the sink, or use a slotted spoon to remove food from the pan and then allow the hot liquid to remain so that it will cool. Measure water before boiling it. Cut round vegetables, fruit, in half before slicing or chopping. Then place on cutting board with flat side down to prevent rolling. Measuring. Separate measuring spoons and cups individually for easier identification. Bend the metal handles at a 90-degree angle to dip into the substance when measuring solids and liquids. Use one set of measuring cups of different colors for wet ingredients and another for dry. If you have only one set, dry well between uses. Store liquids in large-mouth jars so that you can dip out the correct amount needed using individual measuring spoons. Use a clean eyedropper for measuring extracts or flavorings in which the recipe calls for a few drops. Place oil in the refrigerator and allow it to get cold before pouring or measuring so that you can feel as you measure. Mark measurements on a large glass measuring cup with Highmark's glue, puff paint, or assorted color tabs. Use nesting measuring cups and spoons. Using liquids. Pour liquids into contrasting colored containers, such as coffee into a white mug, milk into a dark blue glass. Pour liquids over a sink, bowl, or tray. Listen for the changing sound of the pouring as the container fills. The sound is loud and clear when you first pour. As the container is filled, the sound fades out. To remove hot liquids, use a syringe-type baster. Use a large tray to assist in transporting ice cube trays to the freezer. Place your index finger of the hand holding the cup over the rim and inside the container as you pour. When you feel the liquid, stop pouring. Pour slowly and increase your speed as you feel comfortable. Floating objects such as ice cubes or a clean ping pong ball can help in determining whether a glass is full. Feel the weight. The weight of the containers indicates whether it is full. Feel the temperature. Feel the outside of the container to determine. Use a liquid indicator. Place the prong of the liquid level indicator, such as a say when, inside a glass or cup. When the liquid reaches the prong and buzzes, stop pouring. Labeling canned food and utensils. Remove the label on certain items only. For example, if you have green beans and corn, then remove the label on all your corn. You will then have them separated by label. A talking device known as a pen friend can be used for labeling. After programming the device, you can label and read labels for a variety of items that you select. For organizing canned goods, write the type of food on an index card. For example, GB for green beans, C for corn, etc. with a felt tip marker and attach it with a rubber band. If you have space, all cans of the same type could be placed in a row in the pantry. Organize your pantry into shelves with different categories of items. For example, the first shelf is canned vegetables, second is canned fruit, third is canned meats, etc. Use shoeboxes to keep the same kind of foods in, and label boxes using the index card method. Set up a rubber band system to identify your canned foods, such as one rubber band for corn, two for green beans, three for soup, etc. Staple drinking straws onto cupboard shelves or drawers to create organizational areas. Labeling and using appliances. Make tactual markings or raised dots on all your appliances at each increment to assist in locating settings by touch or by sight. The raised dots or heightened color help you set temperatures or other settings by touch. Use one of the following. nail polish, tactile tape, hot glue gun, black marker, Highmark. Some appliance companies have Braille overlays for stoves and microwaves. Do not wear loose-fitting clothing, full sleeves, or ruffles when using the stove. Long hair should be tied back with a barrette or rubber band so that it will not get caught in electric mixers or other appliances, burned over the stove, etc. Remove loose-fitting or bulky jewelry before preparing food so that it does not get caught in utensils or appliances. Make sure your hands are dry before handling electrical appliances and that the switch is in the off position. Observe your stove settings and use the clock method for turning the dial to certain settings. For example, the medium setting is at 6 o'clock, the high setting is at 9 o'clock, etc. Handles of pots and pans should be turned so that they do not extend over the edge of the stove. Do not place utensils or other objects in a sink in which there is a garbage disposal. Do not turn stove burners on until you have centered pans on the burners. To check burners for heat, hold your hand high above the burner and lower slowly. This will allow you to feel the heat prior to touching the burner. Turning the kitchen lights off or dim lighting makes the blue flame on a gas stove burner easier to see. Use fireplace matches or a butane lighter to light the burner. Use colored tape or a tactile marking at different temperatures on an oven dial or at different settings on washer-dryer dials. Use front burners whenever possible to keep from reaching over a burner that may be hot. How to mark appliances. Many people experiencing vision loss find it helpful to mark appliances or other items that they have difficulty seeing so that they can continue to use them. A variety of items can be marked, including, but not limited to, medicine bottles, washable fabrics, microwave ovens, washing machines, dryers, stoves, ovens, air conditioner heater thermostats, and remote controls. Usually people use some type of raised surface to mark portions or degrees of the controls. Some items that can be used are puff paint, fabric paint that dries, raised, can be found at craft stores. Velcro, Highmark, or bump dots. The last two are specialty items that can be ordered from a catalog. To mark appliances and items, put raised dots to show the most frequently used settings. Before marking an item, make sure it is clean. On most appliances, you can use an all-purpose cleaner to remove grease and dust. Here are some ideas for marking common appliances. Stoves. Put one dot on the knob at the low setting and two dots at the high setting. If the knob does not click or stop at off or zero, put a line on the stove so you can feel where the knob lines up to indicate the off position. Microwaves. You may want to put a raised dot on the number 5 to orient yourself to where the numbers are, and push the numbers from memory. If you need more tactile information to use the microwave, you can mark the odd-numbered buttons. You might also mark frequently used buttons, such as the start or the popcorn features. If your microwave has a 1 minute or minute plus feature, you may want to mark this button as well. Bright idea. Marking continued. Be creative. You can use these procedures to mark just about any item. It is important to remember only to mark the most used settings, not every setting. Simple is better. Contrasting. Trays or placemats help create a contrasting background on countertops. On a light-colored countertop, place a dark placemat or tray. This will make finding cups and utensils easier. Use a dark cutting board for light foods and vice versa. There are cutting boards available that are black on one side and white on the other side. Use a pot with flat color, rather than aluminum, on the inside to assist in seeing boiling water and foods in the pot. Mark kitchen dials with bright, contrasting tape, high marks, or puff paint. Mark the off position and most frequently used temperatures. Use contact paper to create contrast on kitchen counters, dark for rolling white pie crust, and light for mixing brownies in a clear bowl. Use a tablecloth or placemat that is a different color than the plate. Serve food on contrasting colored dishes, such as creamed corn in a dark dish and red gelatin salad on a white dish. A contrasting non-slip mat, such as a Dyson pad, can be used to prevent one's cutting board, mixing bowl, or plate from slipping when in use. Eating. To cut meat, first feel for the edge of the meat with a fork. Then take the knife, line it up behind the fork, and begin cutting. To peel food, begin by feeling for the edge, and then turn the item counterclockwise while peeling. It is easier to determine if the peel on vegetables has all been removed when the vegetable is wet. This can be determined tactily also. Place a high-intensity lamp by your seat to illuminate your plate if more lighting is helpful to you. To aid in locating the position of different food on a plate, use a clock system. For example, meat at the top of the plate will be at 12 o'clock, and vegetables at the bottom of the plate would be 6 o'clock, and so on. Use frosted and colored drinking glasses. Avoid bright, busy patterns in choosing tablecloths, placemats, etc. Lighting for safety and comfort. Good lighting is critical for safety and performance, often making it possible for a person with low vision to continue reading, eating, sewing, and writing. In an area designated for general use, such as a living room or kitchen, it is important to have illumination, ideally with dimmer switches. Both the type of light used and its placement should be evaluated. Types of light. Fluorescent lighting provides good overall illumination, but can cause glare if daytime bulbs or cold blue light is used. Energy-saving fluorescent and LED bulbs, similar to warm incandescent light, are available. Halogen light may also cause glare. Spot incandescent lighting. Use spot lighting wherever possible. Lampshades should be opaque, shielding the light source and, at the same time, directing the light onto a work area. Metal lampshades may become hot to touch unless indoor flood bulbs are used. Direct sources of bright light. Filter natural sunlight with thin curtains that permit light to pass through. Filter artificial lighting with lampshades. More lighting tips. A small light or reflective tape located within the switch or illuminated switch plates allows for visibility and access at night. Pressure-type light controls are easier to use than standard toggle switches. Lamps that turn on by a simple touch are available. Ceiling lights controlled by a pull cord should have a cord that hangs at eye level to avoid excessive reaching up and risking a loss of balance. Light timers, preset for certain times, are helpful if adding light switches is not feasible. Eliminate sunlight streaming through windows with thin draperies or Venetian blinds, unless they make it too dark. Polarized window glass or tinted mylar shades eliminate glare without loss of light. Glare from unshielded light sources can be reduced by using frosted light bulbs and placing shades on exposed bulbs. To control glare from light or sunlight on highly polished waxed floors, use carpets or no-slip matte floor finishes that diffuse rather than reflect light. Reposition lamps that cause glare. Make sure the bulb is not visible. Use wall-mounted valances or cove lighting to conceal the source of light and spread it indirectly upon the ceiling and the floor to eliminate space between source and of glare. To eliminate furniture surface glare, use matte or dull surfaces on tabletops and non-reflective material on chair seats. Rearrange living room furniture to best utilize light, to avoid glare from windows, and to get as close as possible to the television. Wear sunglasses, a hat, or visor to shade your eyes and ease the adjustment to bright light. Put additional lighting around work areas. Bright idea. Lighting. Strategic lighting. Avoid distracting reflections from windows on the TV screen. Use natural light whenever possible. Light switches should be approximately 32 inches from the floor and located directly on the outside or inside of doorways. This helps to orient the person walking across a darkened room to turn on a light. Light switch plates should be of a color that contrasts with that of the wall to allow for visibility. If the colors of the wall and switch plate are identical, color contrasting tape around the borders of the switch plate will enhance its visibility. Furnishings. Choose contrasting colors of throw rugs, e.g., dark brown on cream-colored linoleum, and secure them with carpet tape for safety. Tie brightly colored ribbon bows to the ends of TV or radio antennae. Replace wall socket and light switch covers with covers that contrast in color to the wall. Avoid bright, busy patterns in choosing tablecloths, furniture upholstery, ironing board covers, and bedspreads. Hang clocks and pictures at eye level when sitting in chairs. Pay attention to floor surfaces. Plain colored floor coverings with no patterns are less confusing visually than carpets or tiles with floral or checked patterns that may lead to misjudgment of spatial distances. Keep a large flashlight in an easy-to-find spot at the bottom of dark closets. Door thresholds may not be seen clearly if they are of a color similar to the surrounding floor. This problem can be eliminated by placing brightly colored, no-slip adhesive strips along the length of the threshold, or by painting thresholds a contrasting color. Invest in a small television so a family member with low vision can then sit as closely as needed and choose the TV program. Some people prefer the screen in color, others black and white. Have appliance manuals and similar materials enlarged on a photocopier as received. Don't wait for an urgent need for that information. Put books and things with labels on middle shelves. Leave the top and bottom shelves for plants and larger decorations. Check with the local utility company for large print thermostat attachments. Thermostats can be marked with puff paint. Place pet food and water on a small table to avoid stepping in it or on a contrasting colored mat. Purchase a large print or talking clock for your home. Small boxes are useful to keep items separated. Everything from socks to silverware may be stored this way. Identifying keys, Nail polish painted on the head of a key will create a glossy, slippery feeling for easier identification, or a piece of tape or a dot of fingernail polish could be placed on the house key. Use rubber caps found at hardware, office supply, or general merchandise stores. Memorize distinguishing features of the key, such as raised lettering or symbols, size, shape. File a notch on the head of a particular key. Color code keys with plastic hoods available at hardware and discount stores. Laundry and sewing tips. Use a turkey baster to fill a steam iron with water. Wash small items in a zipped pillowcase or mesh laundry bag. Safety pin socks into pairs before washing. Mark washing machine and dryer controls with puff paint, high marks, or contrasting tape. Mark the most commonly used setting so it can be found more easily. Use sock sorters, available at discount stores, to keep pairs together, even in the laundry. Keep a magnet in the sewing bag to pick up a drop needle or pin. Detergent pods are now available, which do not require measuring. Make sorting laundry easier by using a system. A V-cut in a label could identify a permanent press item, while a corner cut off a label indicates a color-fast item. There are special needles and threaders to make it easy to thread a needle. Staple a cloth tape measure at each inch or half inch to use for all kinds of cloth measuring. Cleaning. Store cleaning supplies in a bucket, then simply grab the bucket and carry it around the house when cleaning. This works for gardening tools, too. Wear an apron with large pockets when cleaning. The pockets can be used for cleaning materials or for misplaced items that are picked up while cleaning a room. Instead of a dust cloth, use an old pair of cotton gloves or socks placed over the hands. Wipe up anything that is spilled immediately. Make the bed once with great care. Mark each sheet and blanket where it touches the corners of the bed with safety pins. Each time thereafter, when the bed is made up, simply line up the corners. When you vacuum or sweep, divide the room into sections, using furniture and walls as reference points. This can also be done barefoot for verification that the floor is clean. Set a paper bag near your workspace to catch all garbage and scraps. Roll the top of the bag down a couple of turns, and the bag will sit upright and remain open. Bathroom tips. A clear plastic shower curtain allows more light into the shower area than an opaque or solid one. Consider purchasing a shower curtain which contains large pockets to hold body wash, hair care products, etc., and keep them within easy, safe reach. Use a contrasting color toilet seat cover so it is obvious whether the lid is up or down. Buy soap that contrasts with a sink and bathtub. Floating soap is sometimes easier to find. Liquid soap dispensers are sometimes preferred. Soap on a rope is also handy in the tub or shower. If shampoo and conditioner bottles look alike, place a large contrasting bump dot on the lid of the shampoo bottle to distinguish it from the conditioner. Try a lighted magnified mirror for applying cosmetics or shaving. Change medicine cabinet door to a sliding style. Place rubber bands on all personal items to distinguish between yours and someone else's. Put your items in one area all the time. Squeeze an entire tube of toothpaste into wide mouth jar or plastic container, then dip out toothpaste as needed. Another option for toothpaste is to use a pump dispenser for easier control, put toothpaste directly into your hand, and scoop palm with brush, or put toothpaste directly into your mouth and brush. Place your items in a specific container, box, or basket all the time and transport them from your room to bathroom. Keep your items in a personal hygiene or makeup bag. Personal management. Medications. Use pill organizers to keep track of medications. Check with your pharmacist to ensure it is safe to store your medications together. Write a single letter in felt-tip pen or puff paint on the medicine bottles to identify the contents. For example, N on nitroglycerin. If you are only taking one or two medications, a simple bump dot on the lid will distinguish one from the other. Use a rubber band system for organizing your medications. For example, one rubber band for heart medication, two rubber bands for stomach medication, three rubber bands for pain medication, etc. When getting prescriptions filled, ask the pharmacist to identify each medication by name and the description of tablet or capsule, color, size, and then label each bottle as needed using large black print, braille labels, rubber bands, etc., before leaving the counter. When given a prescription by the doctor, ask the doctor, nurse, to read you the name of the prescription and its dosage so that you may document information in a notebook or digital recorder. There are now talking prescription readers available, which can be ordered through specialty catalogs. When played back, information concerning dosage, proper way to administer, warnings, etc., can be heard. Record prescription instructions or write in large print in a notebook. If two bottles are shaped the same, put a rubber band around one of them. Since many medications are identified by color, there is potential confusion with look-alike pills. Medications should be identified by large print labels. Many pharmacies will attach large print labels upon request. Don't give up on independently measuring insulin and monitoring blood glucose. Talk with a diabetes educator about the many options available. Items such as talking glucometers, talking blood pressure monitors, talking thermometers, talking weight scales, etc., are widely available and are effective if trained properly.